WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid on a snowy Tuesday night. I just went down the hall and checked out Rick Reiser's office. There is, in fact, a couch in there. I may well be sleeping on it tonight. Pretty nasty out there. For heaven's sakes, if you're driving around in this mung, be careful, please. All right. You know when you go to the dentist and they've got that little evil Nazi dental instrument with the hook on it and that can, like, get up under your gums and do nasty things. And they hit that little nerve and you wind up, you know, somewhere about the ceiling. Apparently I did that last night. The way it works is that, my email's there. You're welcome to email Bob at Head On Radio, Bob at HeadOnRadio.com anytime. But, you know, generally, we're fairly civil with one another. I try to keep things on this show on a first-name basis. So I get this email from some person who has lots of positions, lots of opinions, but not enough guts to hang a name on it. The only thing I know this character as is CB4Seasons@WMConnect.com. CB4Seasons@WMConnect.com. That's the only reference I have for this character. But he says, my radio stays tuned to WWNR. I'm not usually out after work. However, I listened to you last night and you made me sick. Good. Good. If it makes you sick, that means there's hope for you. CB4Seasons@WMConnect.com, whomever you are. You should be sick. You should be sick to know that there is a political party in this country, in this state, in this county that has little seeds of death and murder scattered in it. You know, I listened to that clown that follows me, the Savage Wiener, getting ready to come out with a book that says liberalism is a mental disorder. Right? So this character gets sick because I point out the fact that a serial killer was a registered Republican. Just like Susan Smith's daddy was a registered Republican. Just like Timothy McVeigh was a registered Republican. All these killers and rapists and perverts and sickos who have as the single common thread in all of their evil ways. Single common thread is Republicanism. You made me sick. I'm fine with the fact that we see things different. Okay, well, sir, I'm fine with the fact that we see things differently. I think everybody has a right to his or her views. Good. I'm not a Rush fan for what I thought was the, and I'm really struggling with the grammar here, for what I thought was the same reasons I am not a fan of yours. You and Rush won't look, that's won't, W-O-N-T, or is it want? You and Rush won't look at any other viewpoint other than yours, and as far as Rush goes, if you don't agree with him, you're stupid. If someone does not agree with you, they are evil. No, not at all. This poor fellow missed the entire thrust. They, Republicans, are evil because they have the seeds of murder and death and slaughter in them. Because it's at the core of Republican values. Look what happened in the Supreme Court today. Justices Breyer and Souter and Ginsburg and Kennedy and one more ruled in the majority opinion that it is no longer legal in this country to murder juveniles in the name of the state. They took an anti-death position. Look, Rethuglicans, they took a pro-life position. Now, who voted pro-death? Who wanted to keep on killing juveniles in the name of the state? Why, Fat Tony Scalia wanted to keep killing juveniles in the name of the state. What's Fat Tony Scalia? Fat Tony Scalia is a Republican. William Rehnquist wanted to keep murdering people in the name of the state. What is William Rehnquist? William Rehnquist is a Republican. Clarence Thomas, that pornographic perverted freak, wanted to continue murdering people in the name of the state. What is Clarence Thomas apart from being a pornographic perverted freak? He's a Republican. You know, here's this character who apparently didn't quite get out of sixth grade grammar, getting mad at me for pointing out the fact that all these killers are Republicans. Don't get mad at me, you nameless bozo. Look at your own party and wonder why it embraces death. Let's see. Other radio hosts use sex for shock value. You use hate. And he found the caps lock. Capital H, capital A, capital T, capital E, hate. No, sunshine, it's not hate, it's outrage, and I am disgusted to know that there is a segment of American society that deals in death and blood and gore and excrement and all the evil things that go with the elimination of human life. Pro-life party, my left hind foot. What a bunch of hypocrites you Republicans are. Freedom of speech aside, there's a sentence for the ages. Freedom of speech aside, no baby, freedom of speech is never aside. Freedom of speech, but then again, you know, you're a fascist, you're a Republican. You think freedom of speech aside, never mind that old freedom of speech thing. There's no type for that type of comment unless you are at a Klan meeting. How about that? The Republican goes for the Klan comment. Imagine. I won't listen to you make fun of me tonight. I'm not making fun of you. I'm pointing out how deadly, earnestly wrong you are. And then this punk tries to intimidate me by saying, I'm going to tattle. You know, our youngest child will soon be 8 years old. And we're working, every family has an informer. And bless her heart, she's the informer. She lives, Daddy, he's doing it again. Daddy, she's doing it again. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Run along. Well, this guy's apparently no better than an 8-year-old tattletale. Let's see. I won't listen to you make fun of me tonight. In fact, if Southern Communications feels your type of hate radios at blah, 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 blah. Okay? And then he says, I respect the fact that we don't see things in the same way. But you can get your message across without saying stupid things like that. Okay. Now, I've been really nice about this. Stupid things? How is it a stupid thing to point out that Dennis Rader of Park City, Kansas, the BTK killer... How is it a stupid thing to point out that he's a Republican? Why is it a stupid thing to point out that Susan Smith's father was a Republican? Why is it a stupid thing to point out that Timothy Veigh was a Republican? Why is that stupid? It's not stupid, Mr. CB numeral 4 seasons at WMConnect.com, because that's the only name you gave me to refer to you by. Why is that stupid? Why is it stupid to point out the fact that several millions of Americans punched the Chad, touched the screen, did whatever they did to select George W. Bush to push his pro-death agenda Why is it stupid to point out that when you voted for George Bush, you voted for a man who has deliberately had killed over 100,000 non-combatant, innocent Iraqi civilians, whose dead-headed lack of reasoning, understanding, or anything passing for humanity has resulted in the deaths of nearly 1,500, if it hasn't crossed 1,500 today, American soldiers? Why is that? Why is that stupid? So in essence, I suppose I am glad you were... Why were you shocked, Mr. CB Four Seasons at WMConnect.com? Why were you shocked? Because I can tell you, maybe we'll make it a little poll for this evening. There are lots of normal people that call this program, unlike Republicans, normal people who were not shocked to find out that the BTK serial killer was a Republican. It fit the profile, sunshine. But you don't like it because somebody just rubbed your nose in it. And you're all mad at me because I was the one doing the rubbing and you were the one getting it rubbed. I'm sorry you don't like it. Sometimes the truth is not quite as pretty as you might like to have it be. It's not all the dangers to America aren't all coming from queers out there trying to get all married up and stuff. It doesn't all come from the fact that we don't have enough big rocks with 10 pieces of advice for a just barely post-Stone Age people sitting around in our federal buildings. That's not the threat to America. The threat to America comes from the people with murder in their souls. Okay? That's how it works. Listen, we've got to take a commercial break when we come back. More of your phone calls. The phone number, of course, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. And, of course, we stream live for you every night at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. You can also go to my website through the station's website, headonradio.com. And you can do like this guy did. You can send an email. Most of you, and I get lots of email, most of you are even kind enough to provide me a name by which to refer to you. Well, some people, I guess, were left out of a little bit of raisin. You never know. All right, we'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Yeah.
Head on.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
The defendant,
having been found guilty, is sentenced to a term of 5 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 23 minutes after 7 o'clock here in snowy uptown Beckley. Are you following the story of the murder in Chicago? A federal judge, her husband and her 89-year-old mother were found murdered in their home. And the investigators think that it was an execution-style killings. And they believe it was the work of white supremacists. Want to guess which way they voted on November the 2nd? You know they didn't run out and vote for Kerry Edwards. You people, you Republicans, are just going to have to come to terms with the fact that you are a part of a movement that has at its core death and murder and blood and killing and mayhem and rape and child abuse. You're just going to have to come to terms with it. Now, you can get mad at me all you want, but you are the ones who are going to have to deal with the fact that you're part of it. Now, if you feel like that description doesn't apply to you, then why are you a part of their organization? You understand? If you don't feel like you've got murder and death in your heart, why do you call yourself a Republican? Because that is a core family value in Republican world. Oh, you're mad. I'm all torn up. You're mad. How juvenile. How childish of you. You're mad at me for telling you a fact. But then again, you know, what can I expect from people who put a man in office who says we make our own reality? But you're mad at me. Right. Okay, let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you
doing? Doing good.
Well, I understand you may have received some type of hate mail.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Oh, really. Well, this guy says I'm using hate for shock value, when all I'm doing is bringing out the fact that this BTK serial killer was a registered Republican.
Well, good Lord, isn't that the pot calling the kettle beige? You know?
Beige. I'll paint the ceiling beige. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the reasons that I just never got into your message board. I mean, I thought about getting into that, and I realized that there were all kinds of nasty things about what people said about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really care what they say about me. I could care less.
I understand.
And, you know, I basically speak the truth as I see it. And if they don't like it, they can lump it. They can get on there and they can waste this space and whatever. And I'm not saying that about your message board, but, I mean, if that's the only way they can fight back, that's fine.
Well, it's typical. I mean, they can't win in the marketplace of ideas, Jim.
The thing about it is, friend, congratulate yourself, because no matter what this idiot said, you struck a nerve.
Well, I believe I did.
Apparently, one of your missiles got through, okay?
Yeah, well, you know, and again, my only query is, you know, why get mad at me? Why not examine the party that they're a member of?
Oh, that's not the way they think, buddy. Come on.
Well, they don't think, for starters, but, you know.
Yeah, and number one, yeah, they don't really think, and an original thought in most of their heads would die of loneliness.
Yeah, they follow, you understand? They don't think, they blindly follow.
They're just like lemmings.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Or little duckies following the mama duck. And the mama duck is Karl Rove.
Well, they will go
wherever he leads.
Remember what John Kennedy said about the elephant being the symbol of the Republican Party?
Yeah.
Of how, you know, they're so stupid, they basically, when you see them running around and they have their trunk wrapped around the other one's tail, blindly following the one in front.
Right.
And it was a good speech Kennedy made, but you know, he really was ahead of his time in describing his adversaries, I think.
Well, very much so. And I was thinking before I went on the air, as I was reading this drivel that was sent to me, why is the Republican Party's symbol an elephant? I'm thinking skull and crossbones. Makes a lot more sense.
I don't know. All I can tell you is this. Basically, I guess they want that symbol because it's the largest animal in the world and its strength.
And again, it can stomp anything else
and basically it just stomps its way through. But, you know, it's really an insult to the elephant because they're very intelligent creatures and they have, you know, extremely interesting habits that are, you know, makes them very endearing.
Well-developed social skills. Everything that a Republican's not, Jim.
Exactly. And, you know, why they have that is their thing. I think they ought to have the Wolverine or the Badger or maybe a python. I don't know. That should be their symbol.
No, wait. We've overlooked it all, Jim. Vulture. Turkey buzzard.
Yeah.
Won't fight anything its own size and prefers to pick on things that are already dead.
And their ideological beliefs smell about the same way with a feather of one of those things does.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to run across a buzzard's roost in the woods.
I have. They nest on the ground.
Yes, they do.
And they defend themselves, too.
Yeah, they don't nest nicely.
No, they don't. But anyway, you know, hey, listen, it's just par for the course, you know?
Well, I think so. This guy wanted to get kind of threatening, but... you know, that you can tell you're getting through when they start with the threats.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've had to call the police here.
Really?
Because of things that were left on my patio, yeah.
Yeah.
It's how they are.
They're nasty.
And, you know, that's the only way they can fight back. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing. If I should ever find one of them doing it, I would certainly invite them in. And then they would not go back out where they came.
I understand, Jim.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Hey, we got to hit the break, man.
Well, don't hit it too hard. Your sparks might fly and catch something on fire.
Advice well taken. Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Later. Okay, break time. News update from Carl Mack, followed by the Workers' Independent News Service. Stick around. When we come back, your calls or some stuff I didn't get to last night. I hate to serialize the show, but you guys get me going some other direction, and, you know, look what happens. Anyway, this is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A winter storm brought up to 7 inches of snow in West Virginia's mountains today, especially in the northern counties, closing schools in at least 33 of the 55 counties, and also delaying the start of classes in other schools. The bad weather also prompted officials at Mountaineer Racetrack and Gaming Resort in Chester to cancel racing today. About 577 Allegheny Power customers were without power this morning, about 460 of those in Webster Springs. No other major power outages were reported by AEP. North Central West Virginia's economy has been growing faster than the rest of the state since 2000, and it's expected to maintain that pace for the next 5 years, according to a report issued by the North Central Regional Economic Outlook Conference in Morgantown. The six-county region also has outpaced the state in population and per capita income. That area includes Doddridge, Harrison, Marion, Monongalia, Preston, and Taylor counties. A Bluefield native convicted of cheating investors out of almost $14 million has been sentenced to more than 10 years federal prison. 60-year-old C. Gregory Earls, who now lives in Washington, D.C., was also ordered during last week's sentencing to pay almost $22 million in restitution. Earls is the former chief executive of U.S. Technologies. He was convicted in April of 2004 of 22 charges, including securities fraud, wire fraud, and mail fraud. Earls persuaded investors to invest $20 million in a private firm that he set up in 1998 to buy stock in U.S. Technologies, which is a Washington-based internet firm, but collapsed when the dot-com bubble burst. That's the news. Now here's the forecast, a little revision. Winter weather advisory continues for tonight. Cloudy, windy, with light snow and cold. Low tonight near 19. And then for tomorrow, partly sunny with flurries, typically March day, but cold, high near 28. Tomorrow night will be cloudy and very cold with a low of 15. And then for Thursday, partly sunny and warmer, with a high near 30. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
When we're done with this, we're going to be a much better, stronger, more efficient labor movement capable of bringing to workers what they want, need, and deserve.
AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Rich Trumka here in Las Vegas. The Labor Federation's Executive Committee spent the first day at the table talking through some of the fundamental reform proposals. And according to Public Affairs Director Denise Mitchell, the atmosphere was not hostile. She said a pretty strong consensus was that no union mergers would be forced in this AFL-CIO reform. She said no clear path emerged on the first day about exactly what will come out of this Las Vegas session. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney described what the closed-door sessions were like on the first day.
Debate has been fierce at times. People are really engaged. They want to have strong input into the future of the labor movement. And the changes that we're discussing are really sweeping and substantial.
Sweeney says it's clear more time will be needed to talk through these reform issues facing the labor movement between now and the AFL-CIO's Chicago convention in July.
A new bill in Montana would use a tax on big box stores to offset low wages and lack of benefits. The bill would target stores that make more than $20 million per year, such as those owned by Costco and Walmart. Sponsored by State Senator Ken Toole of Helena, the measure would tax the stores 1% for every $20 million it makes. Gene Fenderson, Executive Secretary of the Montana Progressive Labor Caucus, says the profitable stores are not paying their fair share in the state.
Over the last number of years, there's been about $500 million shifted from corporate taxation onto homeowners. That was number one. And of course, big box stores are sucking millions of dollars out of our state, and we believe not paying their fair share of tax.
If less than half of the store's employees are part-time, and they pay their full-time employees an entry-level wage of at least $22,000, counting both pay and benefits, the store would be exempt from the tax. A prominent and outspoken member of Iraq's oil and gas union was murdered last week. According to the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, Ali Hassan Abd was one of the first activists to organize trade unions in the Iraqi oil industry in the post-Saddam country. The Confederation has condemned the killing as well as the torture and murder of other workers. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. New projections show that medical costs will become harder to afford for the government, business, workers, and the uninsured over the next 10 years. Figures released by the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services say that healthcare spending in the United States will outpace inflation and wage growth. By 2014, public and private healthcare spending will be more than $11,000 per person and will account for 19% of the gross domestic product.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Let's go straight to the phones. We've got Jack. Hey, Jack, you're head on.
Yeah, Bob, I'd like to know what you want to call war. I'm saying this. When one person can kill 20 people, who's winning the war? Now, I'm not talking about after the bomb was dropped. I know America killed many people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about when you got soldiers over there in big combat and you take one of the enemies that can draw a bomb, who's winning the war?
Oh, there's
no win.
Well, no, there isn't. And, you know, maybe that's part of our problem, Jack, is that we still think about it in terms of winning and losing.
Well, only thing I say, there's no win to this.
No, there's not. It's a lose-lose situation.
It's a lose-lose because there's 21 and they're winning the battle over there.
Yeah.
Because dropping them bombs like they're doing, or them looks as explosives. I'm just telling you, sir, I'm upset about it because that's very wrong with America with where they're at. When you got one man can destroy 100 and how many people?
Yeah, 125, 115 in that one car bombing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I say, who's winning the war?
Well, they're winning it. They, you know, they have the horror on their side.
Well, I don't like to say they're winning because that's where it's going, and I wish our troops would get back home. This is not a war. This is something that Bush brought on us, and it's not right.
No, it messes with our spirit. I mean, we used to be able to look the world square in the eye, Jack, and say, You know, China, straighten up your human rights. Other, you know, look at the Arabic nations. That you start treating your people better.
Well,
but we don't have that. We don't have that ability anymore because we're no better than them. We're just killers now.
Well, this Bush president, I love a president, but I'm gonna tell you, this president is out of order, and I'm gonna tell you, he is absolutely not making no calls at all over there. And I'm just saying to you one thing, Bob. I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, it's no trouble.
This is a lost thing, and there's no win to it. These enemies, what they call enemy, I don't know who it is. I don't know where they're from, China, wherever they're from. I don't know. It's going to keep going.
Well, sure. Yeah, and you're, but you make such a great observation, Jack. What do we get if we win?
Huh. Yeah, good word.
Yeah, what do we get? You know, usually if you win, you get something. You get a trophy or a plaque or, you know, we get a bunch of people come home in boxes for winning.
Yes, I'm seeing that all along, but I'm saying where are you going to go from here? I mean, I'm mixed up. I'm upset. You wonder why I call your program. I'm not a good caller. I enjoy
your
program,
are.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm upset. This don't make no sense at all.
No,
we're over there to protect people. Oh, buddy, we're not protecting people.
We're protecting them to death, Jack.
That's where it's going, Bob. Thank you for taking
all right.
my call.
Take care, Jack.
Yes, sir.
What a great observation. What do we get? I mean, you've heard President Bong hit time after time. We're turning the corner. We're winning. What are we winning? What are we winning in Iraq? What do we get when it's over? When it's over and we finally pull out and the helicopters lift off of the embassy roof and we do the Vietnam Disappearing Act, what do we get? Now, we're going to declare victory, and we're going to leave. It's going to happen, you know, it could happen tomorrow. It could happen 12 years from now. More likely 12 years from now, because these people in the White House enjoy a good war. Makes good copy. But what do we get when we win? We declare victory. We win. We leave. What do we get? A Laurel and Hardy handshake? A triumph in a chariot for George Bush down... Pennsylvania Avenue? I'm sorry, we had that last January. What do we get? I mean, you get something when you win, right? What do we get? Congratulations, you've got a brand new coffin to put your kid in. What do we get? Do we get the oil? No, the oil is apparently going to China through a pipeline into Kuwait. What do we get? I don't know. Maybe Gary knows. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Pretty good.
What we get is a stabilized Middle East with democracy everywhere.
Frisbees and wheat checks too. Yeah, because I know that you know you've got to be the clean and sober kind of guy, Gary, because you operate a big rig. So I know that was satire, because you'd have to be on drugs to think that we're actually going to get a democratic Middle East.
No, I think we will. Actually, I really do, Bob, sincerely. But I have had two shots of Uzo.
Oh, well, okay. Opa! No, really. It's not going to last. It can't.
I think it will, because I tell you what, I believe once those people taste freedom over there, once you can get it firmly established, I think it'll prevail. I really do. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I believe.
Okay, but, you know, we talked a little bit about Ayatollah al-Sistani last night. Now, and you say once these people get a little taste of freedom, they're not going to get any little taste of freedom under Ayatollah al-Sistani.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I watched two movies over the weekend. I watched Braveheart and I watched King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the people that made those movies did take some historical license. But you know one thing that was really true was how utterly bloodthirsty those people were back then.
No, without a doubt. You know,
well,
we like to think we're getting better.
Well, we have evolved past that. And these people in the Middle East are right where we were 1,000 years ago.
In large part, you know, I I've said that about, and I mean no disrespect by it, I've said that about the evolution of Islam. All religions change over time. I think we can all agree on that. And you know, look where we were 600 years ago.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. But I believe that these people, I'm making my bets with Bush on this. I mean, I know there's a lot to go with it. I know why we're there, and it's not necessarily to make the Middle East democratic for just to be doing something good. It's because of oil.
Well, Gary, consider, like I said, Ayatollah Sistani is not going to let them get that taste of freedom because you know, the people write to him asking, you know, it's like, dear Ayatollah, okay? And he gives, you know, and when he says it, it's law. They ask, is it okay for a Muslim man to shake hands with a woman? And he says, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Then he says, is
they
it...
hang-ups, don't they?
Well, he says, you can't shake hands with a woman. But then another guy writes in, I mentioned this last night, I'm not doing this for prurient purposes, but to show the dichotomy of thought there. The next guy writes in and says, can I have anal sex with a woman? And he says, if she permits it. Next guy writes in and says, can we play chess? Absolutely not. Another guy writes in and says, my digital watch has an alarm that plays music. Am I permitted to own the watch because it plays music and music is forbidden? And he says, well, okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that freedom, Gary? Now, this is the guy who's going to run the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, it can start out slow. You have to give it a chance. I think it's going to work in the long run. I really do. I could be wrong.
Well, I know that General Myers said a couple of days ago that these kinds of insurgencies last 7 to 12 years, if that's an insurgency.
Well, it might.
That it lasts 7 to 12 years, and that at the end of, you know, and what do you get at the end? It's going to be helicopters off rooftops. It's going to be Saigon all over again.
I don't think so. I really don't. But let me preface what I say with this. I don't think we ought to be there in the first place. I think that... We should have started working on energy independence in 1973, if not before that.
Mm-hmm.
We're there because we won't get our act together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And
we're there because we're junkies.
We're junkies, and we won't do what we should do to become energy independent. And I'm really kind of an isolationist to a certain extent. But we have to look where we're at. We're not an isolationist country. We're not going to be. You hear the term world's policeman, whether we like it or not. That's really what we are. Even if we're self-appointed, that's what we are.
And we are self-appointed.
Well, I think we are. But it's been that way for a long, long time now.
But consider, I love the idea of a democratic Middle East. But the problem is, it's only an idea.
Well, it's only an idea, but, you know, look at Japan, pre-war Japan. Look at Germany.
But Gary, they had... You understand that Germany had a democratic background that went back into the 19th century.
Well, they might, but, you know, people are people. Once, you know, I'll tell you how you can change the Middle East. Once these people start to become materialistic, once they start realizing what comfort is, once they realize what it's like to be able to talk and say whatever you want and not be killed for it, they're never going to go back.
Well, that may be. But the question remains, Gary, are they going to get the chance?
Well, that's what they're trying to do right now.
But look, I mean, you've got to take the big picture here. There is an undercurrent of dissatisfaction with the royal family of Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
You know, the royal family of Saudi Arabia is basically a bunch of, I mean, they're an Arabian mafia. Okay,
yeah.
They're crooks, all right? They're criminals.
Well,
you
could argue that any monarchy that's ever existed in history has been that.
Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
These guys, however, they keep the entire populace under their ground under an iron boot with the aid of that bizarre Islamic sect that runs Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabis, okay? And there is an undercurrent that would like to overturn the Saudi royal family and do to them what the Bolsheviks did to the Tsar's family.
Well, I would say the Saudis are probably a lot more benevolent than the Tsars ever were.
But the point is, there is a movement to get rid of them. And, you know, here we are. We love freedom and democracy. Whose side are we going to be on in the threats against the...
Well, you know, you bring up something very interesting, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately. And really, the downside of all this is that we could ignite a powder keg where everybody in the Middle East says, let's depose our governments and let's try to go toward a... down a more democratic road.
Right.
That's what I think can happen.
Right. And do you think for an instant, Gary, that we're going to support that?
Well, since we're so underhanded and double-dealing, probably not, but it's a shame.
I mean,
we don't always support freedom. I mean, actually, if we find a dictator that represents our interests, we'll support the dictator. We've done that time and time again. You know that.
Well, Pinochet, Chile.
Well, I mean, all over. I mean, the Shah, I mean, on and on, right. Ad infinitum. We've done
that. And in fact, we overturned a democratically elected government in Iran to put the Shah back in place.
Yeah. So where do you go? We paint ourselves into a corner, and I don't know where we go. I mean, on one hand, I can support a move to try to make the Middle East into a democratic place, even if it costs a lot to do it. But on the other hand, I see what we've done in the past, and I see what we're likely to do in the future. I mean, it's like they're playing us off against each other. For example, they go over there and they sell all these arms over there, and all of a sudden we have to go there and fight them.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah, and that car bomb that went off yesterday in what, Hilla, Iraq?
Uh-huh.
Where do you suppose that explosive came from? Could that be from one of those caches that we just sort of cruised by and didn't secure?
Well, it could be. I mean, it's just like the Treaty of Versailles. I mean, they set up something that they had to know wouldn't last. What did it lead to? What led to World War II? I believe these people out there are pretty slick about setting these things up so in the future it'll blow right back up, and war is a business to them. I really do believe that. And I say that about George Bush. The Bush family, I think war is their business. And,
war is their business, and business is good.
It is good. But like I said, on one hand, I can agree with what they're trying to do. But, I mean, I can come out and support all
of this. Back up. I mean, Gary, on principle, the idea of setting the entire world free?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
It's a beautiful idea, but there's some flawed thinking involved with it, Gary, to the extent that we've got this notion that if everybody's democratic, we're never going to disagree with anybody again, and war will end, and, you know, there'll be...
Well, it's not that. It's the point we can't be honest about it, because on that one hand, while we're trying to go over there and fight these different factions, we've been selling them arms all along, and, you know, our guys are getting killed with the stuff we sold them.
Well, sure they are. Look,
it's horrible.
You know,
really
we're
look at Osama bin Laden. He's a product of the CIA. You know that.
Well, look at what happened in Afghanistan today. Hamid Karzai, the former UNICAL executive, and you know that, Gary, because you read. The guy who's president of Afghanistan now used to work for, you know, Union Oil, Union 76, whatever. He appointed as the chief of staff to the military today a warlord general named Dostum.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is our Hamid Karzai. This is our man in Kabul. And Dostum is, among other things, a war criminal.
Uh-huh.
And he supported the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. He supported the attacks that practically destroyed Kabul during the Civil War. And he's going to be the chief of staff of the military. He's our, you know.
There's so much intrigue out there that you can't even follow it all. I mean, you wonder why these things happen. But, you know, I tell you what, we're not privy to a lot of backroom conversations.
Oh, I know we're not.
And so we just have, all we can see is the results later, and we often wonder. But, you know, I'm sure it's all planned out. There's good reason for a lot of these things. When I say good reason, I don't mean that in the fullest sense of the word.
I know.
You know, they have their reasons, and we find out about it later. And there's just so many things out there that we're just kind of like mushrooms. You heard that old joke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
live in the dark and feed you nothing but...
The Reader's Digest about the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
If you can take one of the most popular men who's ever lived in America and kill him in broad daylight, and the question is never settled about what really happened, stop to think about that.
Oh, I know. I know exactly.
I mean... We're easily fooled.
Yeah.
We're easily divided up into different factions.
And we are easily terrified.
Yes.
I mean, terror absolutely gripped this nation the day that JFK was shot.
Yeah, it did. And
I mean, we wondered, you know, did the Cubans do it? Did the Russians do it? And, you know, there's people... Look, if it was the Russians, we were ready to go to World War III, hit the nuke button right then and there.
Yeah. Well, Johnson thought that the Cubans had something to do with it, but I think it was organized crime myself.
Well, that would make sense.
But in fact, there's a guy that supposedly more or less kind of fessed up to it. He was some kind of crime boss down in Louisiana, and the Kennedys crossed him supposedly for some reason. You know, they were neck deep in the mafia themselves, really.
Well, Kennedy did, one of his mistresses was also the mistress to a mob boss in Chicago. I, yeah, I don't... and bump him off in broad daylight. You're right.
Here. I mean, you stop to consider, you can take somebody like John F. Kennedy, who was practically a god to the American people. And you know I'm a conservative, but I think he was one of the greatest presidents we ever had. I mean, he was really a true American patriot hero.
Right, and his heart was in the right place.
Yeah, well, definitely it was, you know. And, I mean, take a guy like that in broad daylight, take him out, and, you know, nobody ever really goes to justice for it or anything like that. I mean, there's all these questions. I mean, you know, we're just kind of along for the ride, I believe, sometimes. I don't know how much we're really controlling out there.
Well, yeah, sometimes I think you're right. The question, I mean, yeah, and it's not just Kennedy. Yeah, they bumped off Martin in broad daylight.
Yeah.
They bumped off Bobby at you know, a rally in his very own hotel in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Paul Wellstone, stay off the small aircraft, man.
What about that guy that killed over the Kamchatka Peninsula? They took down the airline. It was, what was his name, McDonald or something like that?
Yeah, I can't remember the name right now, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's people that say that was a real
inside job, company mean, work.
You just have to wonder about so many things out there. I think the best place to get your information nowadays is probably the Internet. It's probably also one of the worst places, but there's just a lot of uncensored material that comes through there.
And the thing is, you read it and you put it through your own rigorous intellectual testing, and you don't take anything for gospel, and it becomes a very, very handy tool.
Well, all right, stop and think about something, though. I've long said that what we've got really on our hands is an information war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way for since time immemorial. It's an information war.
Sure.
But, you know, the average person is really at a disadvantage because you hear all this coming in your left ear and you hear all this coming in your right ear, and what's the truth?
Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. I mean, but it's not easy to decipher and figure it out a lot of times.
No, it's not. There's nothing easy about it. That's why being an informed member of the citizenry, that's why being part of, you know, we the people, that quaint little phrase, is hard work. Nobody,
it's pretty hard work.
Nobody ever said citizenship was going to be simple.
And you know what, Bob, not sincerely, there are a lot of people out there who oppose you who are very sincere people.
I understand that.
And they're honest people. And we have to, it's like Thomas Jefferson said, because we disagree on,
I know what you're talking about, and I can't reach the quote either. But look, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, core philosophy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it is strange to me, Gary, and it gives me no pleasure to point out that all these various and sundry killers had the one commonality of being, you know, committed Republicans.
Yeah, but Jeff Dahmer was a Democrat.
Was he? Well, he's the exception that proves the rule.
I mean, you cannot say because someone has a particular political affiliation that they're going to be a serial killer. Now, that's going a little bit too far, Bob.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to be a serial killer, but it fits, you know, when you go searching for a serial killer, you get a profiler, right?
Uh-huh.
And that profiler puts together a likely list of things that would apply to the killer so that they can try to isolate the suspect, suspect pool, so that they can winnow out the suspects, right?
Well, I tell you, the scary thing is the United States of America has 5% of the world's population, but we have something like 95% of the world's serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they estimate that there are 500 serial killers on the loose today in America, and they can't catch them because, like, you know, they'll kill somebody over here, then they'll wait a couple of years and kill somebody over there. And we have a sick culture. We really do.
Well, and the question becomes one of why is it sick? Is it sick because, and that, maybe that's the fundamental debate between the right and the left, Gary. Is it sick because we're letting the queers get, because somebody wants to let the queers get married, or is it sick because we've been so thoroughly corporatized that our very souls are numb?
Well, like you said a while ago, maybe it's a little bit in between. I think that we have a culture instead of being. You know how everybody used to people didn't even travel 10 miles from home in days past.
Right.
You know, my grandmother, in her entire life, lived no more than a mile from where she was born at.
Yeah.
A mile. Now, look at people nowadays. People are scattered all to the four winds. You look at any family in America, and you're going to find out, well, so-and-so's in San Diego, the other one, he's up in Chicago. I mean, just look at the obituaries. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we've lost a sense of community and a sense of values because of that, and that is really directly a direct result of corporatism in America. There's
right.
no doubt about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't think it's that way for no reason at all. It's that way because there's money to be made in having it that way.
Exactly, but we pay the price for it. We really do.
Sure we do, and we pay it. We pay it with our souls and our blood and our bones and our hearts and our minds and our wallets.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, somebody out there wants me to believe that we're safer because of George W. Bush. You know.
Well, George W. Bush, and I've said this before, he is a globalist. He's a corporatist. I'm really very disappointed and surprised that the people in the Republican Party ever accepted him, because he is not a conservative by any means. And that's the day that he was nominated, the day that I said I have no truck whatsoever with the Republican Party anymore. I mean, I'm more of a Pat Buchanan type guy.
I understand.
And Pat Buchanan has made a lot more sense than a lot of people have here in the last few years.
Well, yeah, and people forget that Pat, you know, for all the differences I have with him, Pat is as anti-war as I am.
Yeah. But, you know, he's his own man, and he does his own thinking. And George Bush, he's just a product of the globalist and the corporatist. He is, in every true sense, a fascist. There's no doubt about it.
And there's a great poem out there by T.S. Eliot you might want to have a look at called The Hollow Men.
Uh-huh.
It's like reading a word picture of George Bush. We're out of time, Gary. Thanks so much for the call.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
All right, take care. Okay, time for the top of the hour news. After that, more of your calls, 252-6200. Or outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. And, well, all kinds of stuff. And again, I promised you this last night, and I didn't get to it. The single dumbest criminal case in the history of the state of West Virginia. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on.
If you're an older adult, be medicine smart. For the free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the station.
Exciting things are happening at the library. Libraries in 16 counties are teaming up to offer more services, books, and information than ever before. And you can be a part of it. Just stop by your local library for a brand new card and ask about the new Mountain Library Network. Many libraries, one card does it all.
WWNR Beckley. News Talk 620, WWNR Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 after 8. Snow's really coming down. That couch in Rick's office is looking better by the minute. If you're out and about, how about giving me an update? How bad is it? Especially out on 19. And, you know, this is one of those little, you know how everybody says, I hate taxes. I don't ever get anything for my taxes. I'm one of those people that believes when it snows, you shouldn't be able to see, you should have trouble getting on the highway because of all the plows and salt trucks out there. Now, I got off there at Crossroads Mall as I drove in this evening. And it was one lane all the way into town on either side. And it was almost as though there was... And I'm not gooning on the snow removal guys. I want more snow removal guys. But if some politician came out there and said, you know, I don't think we're adequately funding what the people need, here's a phrase, to do business... And that consequently we might need a little more tax money. Well, the poor fool wouldn't be able to get elected. People would absolutely have a hissy fit. Yeah, Jim's got me a snow update. Yeah, Jim. Jim.
Brent, it's coming down. I'll tell you. This is like 1998.
The parking lot was fairly clear when I drove in this evening. It's covered. I mean, there's a couple or 3 inches on the parking lot itself.
Well, there it is. Listen, may I say one other thing while I got you on the phone?
Yeah, do please.
You know, remember Eric Byrne, I'm Okay, You're Okay?
Yeah.
Parent, adult, child.
Mm-hmm.
And the circles on each side. And, you know, and the cross messages that are called witch messages.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the trouble with these people that you've been talking about, they're not okay. And yeah. Basically, the only way they know how to communicate with people, particularly those who are, you know, don't agree with them, is through cross transactions.
Yeah, and threats. And that's exactly what you're describing.
And, you know, the child is the most creative portion of the personality.
Mm-hmm.
But can also be the most devilish.
Well, certainly. I've got kids in elementary school. There is no one on earth meaner than a kid.
Well, children need to understand, but adults sometimes.
Right. No, I there was a parody of that book that came out a couple of years after it did, and it was I'm Okay, You're Not So Hot. And I think that's what we're dealing with here, Jim.
Well, somebody nailed me this afternoon on the afternoon show saying that they would know that I could sleep well at night knowing that George Bush would be in there till at least 2009. My reply to that person was, we can't even answer for ourselves as far as tomorrow is concerned.
No. No, we can't.
And then another gentleman called in to offer a defense, which I greatly appreciated, because it's always good to have somebody back you up, you know.
Yeah, nice to know people got your back.
Right. And, you know, I tell you, I have just never seen such meanness and hatred, particularly when you confront these people and you do it on their own turf, and they can't fight you back with anything but what I call witch messages.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know,
well, that's, you know, but the funny part of it is, Jim, they have been doing it for decades now. And somebody like me comes along, and I give them a little dose of their own, and all of a sudden, I'm a hate monger.
Well, now, somebody
and all I'm doing is delivering facts.
This guy asked me the other day, why do people hate Bob Kincaid? And I said, I don't think they hate him. I said, I don't think they can handle what he has to say. Because, number one, he backs up what he says. Number two, I've never seen him really get down to their level. And that gets them all upset because they, what they want to do is get you all, you know, give you a case of the fan ties. And, you know, man, like I said, that's the reason I don't look on the website.
I understand. But, you know, it's...
He's that kind of foolishness.
From my standpoint, it's a lot like something a juggler once told me. He said, if you drop something, make it look like part of the act. And for my money, it's going to be hard to drag me down into their mud because I can generally whip them before we get there. You know, and you know, not fighting dirty. You know, look, I got this guy having a hissy and tattling and you know being very, very childish because I reported that the BTK killer. He's a registered Republican. And it got his knickers all in a twist, Jim.
Well, it's just like that guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember when Harrison Ford was up there? And here comes this guy.
Yeah, with the scimitar?
Yeah.
Bang.
They get up there and they just swirl around and throw their blades in the air, this, that, and the other. And all you do is just shoot them right, you know, where it hurts. they just can't handle that kind of stuff.
No, and I got to admit, I'm a fairly new creature where local media is concerned, and you know the idea of liberal talk radio is pretty new. Oddly enough, though, it's taken off like wildfire. I mean, it's amazing what's happening here and across the country. Al Franken routinely wins in his markets.
Well, you remember the Russian publication Iskra?
Oh yeah.
The sparks will come to the plane. And I've said that to you before.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, the thing is, it's we're winning. Because, again, we deal in facts. You know, I don't have to spin. I don't have to twist facts to be what, you know, look how angry I got this guy just by pointing out a fact that this serial killer, this regular church-attending member, this former president of his church, this Cub Scout leader, this registered Republican, is a mass murderer.
Was this guy also a civil servant?
Yes. He was the county code enforcement officer.
Oh, he was local, not federal.
Right. He would go around. He literally gave people tickets for having their grass too long in their yards.
That's probably got his jollies doing stuff like that. You know?
Oh, well, yeah. Like I said, there was they identified the guy in part because of, and I'm not trying to be prurient on this, in part because of semen stains left at the scene of one of the crimes. And yet there was no rape. Put the pieces together.
Oh, basically, this individual would take the situation into his own hands.
Well said. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And he enjoyed it, you know, and he calls himself BTK, you know, bind them, torture them, kill them. Damn, that sounds like a memo out of Alberto Gonzalez's office, doesn't it?
Well, the fact that he does stuff like this, at least he's got a friend that's not imaginary.
Jim, I appreciate it. Take it easy, buddy.
Leave me on, will you?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. Yeah, let's go ahead and take our quarter-hour break. We'll come back, and sincerely, there's some stuff I want to get to. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a right way and a wrong way to bring jobs to West Virginia. There's a high road and a low road. The low road leads to reduced wages and benefits for West Virginia workers. It's a road marked by giveaways and sweetheart deals for those in the fast lane, but it's a dead end for the rest of us. The road less traveled is the high road. It leads to good jobs, fair wages, and responsible development. It's a little harder to navigate, but it's well worth the trip. A message from the ACT Foundation.
Around the block, just up your street. With neighbors you should meet.
State Farm agents Butch McNeil and Mullins, Susan Petrantazzi and Beaver, and Bill Straub and Beckley have a great way to supplement your Medicare coverage with Medicare Supplement Insurance. Sure, Medicare offers great benefits, but it leaves gaps in coverage. Help fill those gaps with Medicare Supplement Insurance from State Farm agents Butch McNeely and Mullins, Susan Petrantazzi and Beaver, or Bill Straub and Beckley. Proper planning can help protect your financial reserves from being spent on certain medical bills not covered by Medicare. For details on the cost, coverage, restrictions, and renewability of State Farm's Medicare Supplement Insurance, see your State Farm agents. For Medicare Supplement Insurance and State Farm Way, contact Butch McNeely and Mullins, Susan Petrantazzi and Beaver, or Bill Straub and Beckley. These policies offered by State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company are not connected with or endorsed by the United States government or federal Medicare program.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Oh, the conversations we get into during the breaks. Our lovely and talented Taylor Sky is going to be getting married, in the summer? I have any kind of perspective or even taste on the matter, but she's trying to pick out bridesmaid dresses. And she's run across a couple that are really, one that looked like it came out of the Batman movie that Poison Ivy would have worn. You know, and I remember, I forget who it was that told me, something about the penchant for brides to work out their secret vendettas against bridesmaids with the bridesmaids' dresses that they pick. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you, Taylor? No, never. Look, I'm very serious. There's not a lot of noise going on about it. I made brief mention of it last night, this Choice Point debacle, this Choice Point scandal. And again, I know you hate this, But you got to remember, this Choice Point organization, yeah, that's the same one that disenfranchised 50,000 black people in Florida for the 2000 election. You know, you know what the charge was, you know, voting while black. And Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris scrubbed their names off the rolls as being felons when they'd never had so much as a parking ticket. And it's a Republican company, Choice Point is. It's headquartered in a Republican state, Georgia. Its CEO is a big-time Bush donor. And they have allowed 140,000 identities to get into the hands of crooks and criminals. And they're not going to be sued because of what the Congress did to us a couple of weeks ago in passing that class action so-called reform that takes away the power of the judges that you go to the polls to elect, you know, your state circuit court judges. It takes the power away from them to hear these suits where, you know, your brother and sister West Virginians get, you know, poisoned, killed, maimed by these big corporations in search of a fast buck. If you looked at the front page below the fold of the ChazGaz this morning, judge approves DuPont settlement. Got in just under the wire. A very good man, as far as I know, Wood County Circuit Judge George W. Hill, Jr. Inked his approval on this settlement. And you got to understand, DuPont, there's a chemical called C8, and DuPont has poisoned tens of thousands of people's drinking water in the areas south of Parkersburg with this C8. And they're going to spend $5 million on an independent study to determine whether C8 harms humans. I'm sure it does. Is there any C8 in our bodies? No, sorry. Are they selling it in the breakfast food aisle next to the Wheaties? No, you're probably not supposed to ingest it. But DuPont has poisoned thousands of people, your brother and sister West Virginians, with this stuff. And if this was coming to light right now, you would not be able, with your brother and sister West Virginians, to file a class action lawsuit in front of, let's say it's in Wood County, in front of the Honorable Judge George W. Hill, Jr., because the Congress, in its infinite wisdom, has taken that right away from you. It doesn't happen anymore. Because you got to understand that in Republic World, American consumers are no less than, fire-breathing dragons belching brimstone at the very handcrafted Italian shoe soles of the Republican base, you know, corporate America. Remember when George Bush stood up in front of that group of incredibly wealthy people and said, "Some people call you the haves and the have-mores. I call you my base. I'm looking for a good cowboy." Oh, Lord. But in Repiglia world, it's a bad thing. Suing corporations. Bad. Bad. Bad monkey consumer. Bad. Because the way they see it, you and me, get up, go to work, that type of people, we exist only to service the corporate concubines with our cash. And if in the process, you know, corporate America kills a few thousand of us or poisons us or maims us or destroys our ability to feed our children, hey, it kills our children. No big deal. That's just what they call in the hallowed halls of corporate power the cost of doing business. And that's a cost that they're pretty sure we need to bear instead of them. And the good, godly, upstanding, family values-oriented Republican Congress, and some get-along Democrats, you know who you are, they agree. And the Chamber of Commerce agrees. And the insurance companies agree. And Choice Point agrees. And since everyone who really matters agrees, well, now it's law. No more mean, nasty class action suits in state courts to trouble the fungible dreams of the better class. So no, sorry. There won't be a class action lawsuit against Choice Point for debilitating the identities of 140,000 Americans. Not by 7 people, 700, 7,000, or 70,000 ripped off, injured, financially crippled Americans, because the good, godly, upstanding, family values-oriented Republican Congress and several go-along, get-along Democrats, you know who you are, Congressman Ray Hall, Senator Rockefeller, they know better. And what's better is to ruin American families' credit than to call a bunch of data thieves to account in a court of law in the fashion envisioned by those liberals who founded this nation. And don't get me wrong, Choice Point is a gang of thieves, okay? The gang of thieves, all fit to put Jesse and Frank James and all their buddies to shame. Thieves on a par with something shadowy and unholy from the netherworld. Choice Point doesn't steal your cash up front. No, 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 no. At least, you know, not directly. Choice Point steals your very being, your name, your address, your phone number, your social security number, your driver's license number, your fingerprints, your DNA, your retinal scan, anything they can get their greedy hands on, they put into a database and then they sell it. Been to the grocery store lately? That little discount card's a real bonus, isn't it? Data mining. Those telemarketing calls that irritate you at dinner, where do you suppose the credit card company making that call got your info? Choice Point. So you sit back and you scratch your head, and I know, you know, you may hate my guts. A lot of you, most of you don't. Some of you do. You know, the nasty little Republicans that sit in their darkened rooms and jump up and down and chatter like chimps and pick the fleas out of their hair and, you know, and scream family values. But the fact of the matter is that this affects us all, and you'd better pay attention, because you might be sitting there scratching your head saying, okay, Bob's telling me this, what comes next? Well, what's the sad thing is, what's next has already happened. Now, I told you Choice Point gives horse gagging loads of money to the Republicans, right? Well, they do that for a reason, and it has nothing to do with Christian charity, because Choice Point, well, they're not content to just steal your identity. After all, they want to steal your money, too. Your money, my money, our money. Remember? Them tax dollars, they's your money. That's what Bush said to us, wasn't it? Our money. Our money that we send to Washington for roads and bridges and school lunches and health care for little ones and old ones and bombs to drop on brown people, young and old alike. Yeah, that money. But in truly poor scene fashion, these Choice Point swine have figured out a way to get both front feet in the trough, because they're not just good businessmen, they're good soldiers for the Republican cause. Good soldiers in the Republican war on freedom. Remember, it was Choice Point that put together, you know, I told you, the list of the people guilty of voting while black in Florida. That Choice Point. And I'm not kidding, they are good soldiers in the war on freedom. They've proven it. And by proving their loyalty, well, they get rewards. And they just got a tasty contract from the Department of Homeland Security to do what the government couldn't. That is, gather information on private citizens without a legitimate need to do so. Huh? What? Yeah. See, remember back in the early 70s, the last time a dirty, rotten, freedom-hating Republican got it into his pointy little head to compile an enemies list of ordinary Americans? Yeah, Richard Nixon. Well, a Democratic Congress passed a law, and it was called the Privacy Act of 1974, and it told the government that it couldn't just keep dossiers on private citizens without a really, really good reason. Hit the fast-forward button. It's now. And here in 2005, what does a Republican do when a law tells him no? Break it out right? Nah, silly, silly people. Of course not. That was Richard Pinhead Nixon's way. Thanks for the nickname, Harry Truman. God rest your soul. But what an amateur Nixon was. They're much more subtle now, these freedom-hating Republicans. What they figured out instead is that if the law says, just dig this thinking, if the law says the government can't do it, it doesn't mean the private sector can't do it. Oh, glorious, magical, precious private sector. Bathed in the cloying sweet perfumes and with all the chastity of a whore's kiss. Yeah, you and me. Us. Amazingly enough, we paid Choice Point, also lovingly known as the private sector, to gather all the information it could about us and give it to the government. Why? Because you, me, we the people, remember us, we the people? We're a threat to Republican power. We the people paid Choice Point to keep an eye on us. Of course, that was for our own good. So, where's the outrage? I mean, I'm just asking. Where's the anguished hue and cry from the conservative right guarantors and protectors of family values and all things good, honest, and decent? Hear the crickets. What's the upshot? I'll tell you what's the upshot. The only reason the Choice Point scandal came to light is because one state out of 50 has a pro-American consumer law that makes these data miners, these shadowy thieves, fess up when they screw up. Only one state, and it's the state you right-wingers hate. Full of liberals and freaks and faggots and fornicators. California. So we have California to thank for at least bringing this financial calamity to light. So now, as our legislature, flush with, you know, great vision, contemplates tongue-splitting bills and motorcycle helmet law repeal and how far a bar has to be from a church, while John Overington and Ron Thompson dream of capital punishment and hope they get to throw the switch. I just love it when I get to throw the switch. I bite my lip and get a little drop of blood in my mouth. Oh, yeah. While Virginia Mann, John Pino, and Linda Sumner do everything in their power to stop campaign finance reform. While the better class marshals its forces to make working people on public construction projects take a pay cut. While we earnestly strive to make it easier for Massey to blow up more of God's creation. Just a question. Has anyone introduced a bill in the West Virginia legislature like California's law to make the Choice Points at least tell us when they let crooks and hackers and thieves steal our identities? Hear the crickets. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A winter storm brought up to 7 inches of snow in West Virginia's mountains today, especially in the northern counties, closing schools in at least 33 of the 55 counties, and also delaying the start of classes in other schools. The bad weather also prompted officials at Mountaineer Racetrack and Gaming Resort in Chester to cancel racing today. About 577 Allegheny Power customers were without power this morning, about 460 of those in Webster Springs. No other major power outages were reported by AEP. North Central West Virginia's economy has been growing faster than the rest of the state since 2000, and it's expected to maintain that pace for the next 5 years. According to a report issued by the North Central Regional Economic Outlook Conference in Morgantown, the six-county region also has outpaced the state in population and per capita income. That area includes Doddridge, Harrison, Marion, Monongalia, Preston, and Taylor counties. A Bluefield native convicted of cheating investors out of almost $14 million has been sentenced to more than 10 years federal prison. 60-year-old C. Gregory Earls, who now lives in Washington, D.C., was also ordered during last week's sentencing to pay almost $22 million in restitution. Earls is the former chief executive of U.S. Technologies. He was convicted in April of 2004 of 22 charges, including securities fraud, wire fraud, and mail fraud. Earls persuaded investors to invest $20 million in a private firm that he set up in 1998 to buy stock in U.S. Technologies, which is a Washington-based internet firm that collapsed when the dot-com bubble burst. That's the news. Now here's the forecast, a little revision. Winter weather advisory continues for tonight. Cloudy, windy, with light snow and cold. Low tonight near 19. And then for tomorrow, partly sunny with flurries, typically March day, but cold, high near 28. Tomorrow night will be cloudy and very cold with a low of 15. And then for Thursday, partly sunny and warmer with a high near 30. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
The headlines said it all. Weak U.S. job growth boosts market. You see, when there's bad news on your street, the lack of new jobs, there's joy on Wall Street. As one market analyst explained it, since the economy is not spinning out enough new jobs even to keep up with the increase in the number of new workers entering the job market, there's not a lot of labor cost pressure in the system. When economists use the term labor cost, they mean you, or more specifically, your wages. By holding down your wages, corporations fatten their profits, stock prices rise, and Wall Street's high-rolling investors rejoice. Twisted as this is, it is in fact the goal of economic policy in the U.S. today. Another market analyst explained that January's lack of job growth has created the perfect economic environment. It really is the sweet spot, he gushed. Unless, of course, you need a job or are struggling to make ends meet on stagnant wages, which includes most people. Nearly 8 million Americans were officially unemployed in January, and on average, they had been out of work for nearly 20 weeks. However, yet another market analyst said we shouldn't worry. Quote, I'm not totally gloomy about the job outlook, he declared. But then, he has one. Meanwhile, on the same news day, we got word that while CEOs were being stingy with wages, they were going on a wild spending binge in another area. Mergers. Billions of dollars are being thrown into shaky takeover deals such as SBC swallowing AT&T, Procter & Gamble grabbing Gillette, and Verizon picking off Quest. The report says that the return of merger mania indicates executives are confident about spending cash again. This is Jim Hightower saying, bully for them. But before you buy champagne to toast their bulging confidence, you might note that every one of these mergers will result in thousands of jobs being cut, assuring that labor cost pressure will stay weak.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's about 23 minutes before 9 o'clock, and let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Thank you, thank you. I'll be here all the week. Yeah, let it snow, because March is coming in like a lion, and it's going to go out mewing like a lamb. And I'll have spuds in the ground by April. Before April. And English peas and all that fun stuff that you plant at the front end of it. Mm. Let it snow. But I did look out in the parking lot, and it's not nice out there. Looks like I'm skiing home tonight. No, Choice Point. And a reminder, the phone number, I've been advised a couple of times by email that I need to be a little better with getting the phone number out there. The phone number is 252-6200, 6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. And, you know, we're live on the Internet for you via the stream at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And if you want to go back and check out something I have said previously, unlike right-wing talk hosts, we archive because we don't run from what we say. And the show is archived by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go there and have a listen 24/7. You might even, you know what's fun is the first time you hear your own voice in a recording. Okay, let's go to the phones. We got Lewis, first time caller, right?
Lewis. Mr. Kincaid, I kind of am. Actually, you know me. I'm the long haired karate guy that you see some in the evening.
Oh yeah. Okay.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Have you heard anything about school yet? I mean, not that, that we have them in West Virginia, but if we if they're going to have them in the morning.
I haven't heard a word. But if I were a betting man, I would bet no.
I'm out here right now, and I'll tell you what, it's a little rough. You having a good evening?
Oh, having a great evening. Are you on the road right now?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to Burger King.
Okay, how are they?
They're very bad. I'll tell you what, Bob, they're very, very sick. Every road we've been on is we've come from Frost Ferry to Harper Road, and they're snow covered heavily.
And probably not a plow or a salt truck in sight.
No, but I did see a Morton salt truck delivering at a Kroger, so maybe we could do something about that.
Yeah, self help. God helps those who help themselves, I suppose.
Hey man, I got a full drive almost. But listen, Bob, you have a great evening. And,
thank you.
I'll see you here one evening real soon.
All right, sounds good.
You have a great evening.
You too.
Bye bye.
Okay, if you're out and about, for heaven's sakes, be careful. Bless her heart, the lovely and talented Taylor Skye almost skied into work. Let me know where the salt trucks are. I want to follow one home. I don't care. We'll go real slow. Who cares? This is the last gasp of winter. This is all that winter has left to offer. And if I'm wrong, hey, I'm just like every other weatherman. Wrong some of the time, right some of the time, pay me. But, looks like it's blowing a little bit out there, too. My car is covered. Every car in the parking lot, cars that came here at 5 o'clock, covered. A couple of inches. This stuff's coming down good. All right, choice point. Turns out, these guys, you know, just when you think they couldn't get any worse, they prove you wrong. And our good friend David turned me on to this story. It's from the Associated Press. You know, when the choice point story broke, their stock plummeted like a paralyzed falcon in midair. Guess what? Dateline Atlanta, Associated Press. Choice Point Incorporated's top two executives made a combined $16.6 million in profit from selling company shares in the months after the data warehouser learned that people's personal information may have been compromised, but before they made the breach public. This is the moral equivalent of the captain of the Titanic running to the lifeboats and saying, I'm out of here, screw you people. So they realized that they had done a number on all manner of consumers, 140,000 and counting. And then they ran and made themselves some tasty cash before they said, oh, by the way, we've done a number on you, and the stock went kerflop. You gotta love that, don't you? And the Securities and Exchange Commission won't even say whether it's investigating. You can take that for a no. So just if there's anybody involved in the legislature within the sound of my voice, do us a favor. You know, in between taking away our rights to sue insurance companies and somebody's desire to split tongues without a medical license or whatever. You know, in between floor debates on how far a bar should be from a church, how about doing us West Virginia consumers a big favor and giving us a law like California's that says when you warehouse people's essential information and you lose it, you have to tell them. Could we trouble the legislature for that, please? Is it too much to ask? Smith and Curling bought and sold 458,600 company shares in 8 biweekly transactions between November 9th, after the company had confirmed the breach, and February 15th, the day they publicly disclosed the breach. Now, I'm just asking for your common sense. Does that sound right to you? Does that sound like fair dealing? Say you're at the store, and the store has, they're running a sale on dented cans of peaches. Okay? And they sell them to you at one price, and then later on, they tell you the peaches are full of botulism. Don't have much of a problem reaching a conclusion on that, do you? Here, though, well, is this just how the better class behaves? Would we be better off just shutting up and letting our betters do as they will because they know better than us what's right and wrong and fair and decent and good? It astonishes me. It just astonishes me. These guys will never see a day inside a jail cell. They probably will never make the perp walk. They won't get the Martha treatment. Remember, Martha Stewart is a political prisoner. There's a reason that Kenny Lay is walking free to this day, and Martha's doing time. Martha gave money to Gore. Kenny gave money to George. Sometimes the simplest answer is most likely the correct answer. Choice point. If we had a real media, you might hear all kinds of stuff about choice point. But we don't, so you won't. 145,000 Americans in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and 3 U.S. territories have been informed by choice point that their Social Security numbers and other personal information, you know, address, height, weight, build, phone number, blood type. What do you think? Are you even remotely upset about that? I am, because I believe our personal information is exactly that. It's personal. And I don't even think they should have the right to collect this stuff. Reddit ratings. Personal data. You know, you got to remember, the insurance companies use this personal data to determine what they're going to charge you for car insurance. And they don't even have a right to the information, but they can punch a button on a computer and buy it like that. Can you get information on that corporation that quickly? No, not really. So what I ask is, if under the law of this land, corporations are people, just like we're people, why do they get to be the better people? Why do they get to be the better people? Why do they, you know, we hear all this babble about frivolous lawsuits from the right. Who files most of the lawsuits in the United States? Injured individuals? Corporations. Corporations do. And yet, people who sue insurance companies are the mean people. Now, I've been babbling on, this was in Carl Mack's Big Stack of News yesterday, the dumbest case ever brought in the history of the state of West Virginia, Dateline Danville. Investigators say they look like a typical grandma and grandpa, but a Boone County couple in their 70s are facing charges of selling pot. Ooh, scary. 78-year-old woman, and some trooper came and roughed her and cuffed her because she's one of them evil marijuana people. They brought a search warrant and one of those vicious drug-sniffing dogs into this elderly couple's home, tore their house apart, went to an outbuilding, and found them some marijuana. You know, mercy. One of the guys was allowed, one of the people, 72-year-old fellow named Jack White, was allowed to turn himself in because he was recovering from heart bypass surgery. Apparently, our law enforcement has too much time on its hands. When are we, you know, in between, listen, in between maybe the tongue-splitting bill and the bill about the how far churches have to be from bars, could we have a meaningful debate about drug laws in this state? Pretty please? Could we maybe have a little bit better focus on this meth epidemic that we're dealing with? You know, people, you know, the pharmaceutical, or the pharmacies, the drug stores, last I checked, are opposing this bill that would make them keep the Sudafed behind the counter and not let people come in and buy 92 boxes at a time. Oh, that's bad. Can't be having that law. Dear God. And meanwhile, we're going to drag a 78-year-old lady through the criminal justice system over a weed. And a weed that is frankly far less dangerous or deadly than the tobacco that I'm torturing my lungs with. A weed that brings ease of suffering to people suffering from diseases. A weed that brings appetite back to people whose bodies are racked and riddled from chemotherapy. I'm sorry. Do what you want. Smoke it, don't smoke it. I don't care. It's none of my business. But that's the central point. It's none of anybody's business, and it is certainly not the government's business. You know, where's the devoted right wing, you know, the get the government off our backs types, when we're out there rousting 78-year-old little old ladies over a weed that God put on planet Earth? Why are we rousting 78-year-old little old ladies over marijuana when you can't turn your TV on without being told to ask your doctor about this new drug? Do you have eyelid fungus? Eyelid fungicide may be for you. Not for pregnant women or nursing mothers. Do you see? Do you understand? Do you get it? I mean, I'm not trying to be obtuse on this, and I'm not trying to be deliberately the cantankerous. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that wants this debate. But Lordy, we got problems with crack. We got problems with, God knows, meth. We got problems with methadone. We got problems with OxyContin. The vast majority of our drug problem in this country has nothing to do with a weed. It has to do with the pharmaceutical companies. You understand? I'm a lot more concerned about what the pharmaceutical companies can do to us than what some weed that grows along the creek line can do. Oh, it's a gateway drug, Bob. No, it's not. It's a gateway to eating a big old can of Pringles at one sitting, maybe. Come on. You know, we conned an entire generation. We convinced an entire generation that we can't be trusted by telling them, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. And they went out and they tried them. And went, wow, what a bunch of liars. I wonder what else they're lying about. Now, pass me the mirror. That's a gateway. Dishonesty is a gateway. I mean, this 78-year-old lady, is it a gateway for her? You know, when she hits 80, is she going to be on the crystal meth binge? Is she going to be into the OC? Silly, silly, silly people. Listen, Jack's back with us. Let's. Hey, Jack, your head on.
It's another subject.
Yeah.
It's insurance.
Okay.
My granddaughter, when she was 2 years old, mm-hmm. I carried insurance for, 19 years. She's about 21 now. And, you know, it's strange the way they, everything on smoke and they're coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happened? They sent me a letter and asked me for a urine test for her
it's for her to send him a urine test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of a sudden, I just got upset with it, and I said, you better get your money. This was a policy in about another 5 years. It'd been all paid up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of a sudden, they send that a urine test. And I told my granddaughter, just get it out. Get your money.
Yeah.
So that's what's coming down on this smoking. Yeah, I know people shouldn't smoke. I know it should be bad for the lungs. But what I'm saying, they opened up a big thing there. When I was trying to protect my granddaughter and to bring her up, and since she's 2 years old, yeah, she's 21 now.
Yeah.
But I'm saying there's a lot of things where insurances can just, boy, they can get out real fast.
Oh,
and,
you know.
And all the profit they made, Bob, with the 6% insurance at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just another thing, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, no trouble, Jack. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. That is, what happens when the insurance company sends you your premium notice? What happens with if you're late on your premium? Right. You're not insured anymore. Now, let's say you get hurt by an insurance company. What happens when they fool around and drag their feet and lowball you and try to keep from paying you what they owe you? What happens to them? Hear the crickets? Well, you know, and I like him. I like our governor. I like the way he thinks. I like the way he acts. But, you know, if you are known for your brilliant ideas, every now and then you're going to have a clinker. And this third-party bad faith thing is a clinker. This is just bad. An insurance company can do virtually anything under the sun to you if you're late with your premium payment. But if they decide to jerk you around, the only recourse you have is to sue them. Because they get scared to death if they think they're going to lose a penny. They're fundamentally dishonest. That's why they're insurance companies. They're in a rigged business where we have to buy it from them, whether we like it or not. And then they turn around and tell state legislatures that the consumers are being mean to them. Oh, my daughters. Oh, my ducats. We're being mean to them. 128 of these lawsuits against insurance companies were filed in West Virginia last year. That's just were filed. God knows how many of them were dismissed. I don't know how many of them were tried. You know, maybe two or three people actually got a judgment from an insurance company that had done them dirty. You know, when an insurance company starts dragging its feet and lowballing you, hoping to save a nickel for itself. Oh, we're back to choice point again, aren't we? Yeah, because they will ruin your credit and pay not a damn dime for having done so. And some people in this government think it would be a good idea to make sure no mean, nasty, evil consumers can ever hurt sweet little precious insurance companies again. Come here, baby. Put your head on my shoulder. You just cry on daddy's shoulder, insurance companies. That's good. Daddy make it all better. Daddy make those mean old consumers go away. Yes, indeedy. Sure thing. Daddy loves insurance companies. That's the kind of stuff that brings up supper. The idea that you and me are a threat to insurance companies. Dear God. How stupid. How abjectly moronic, difficult to breathe out and breathe in again, dumb, do they think we are? I mean, Lordy. Well, listen, let's find out what's going on in the news. We'll come back. Your calls, who knows what. Maybe we'll just play music for the next hour. This is News Talk 620 WWNR AM, Beckley, West Virginia. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. Me, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 9 o'clock.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
We're back, 6 after 9. Yeah, crazy me. We're, you know, tort reform. There's some more of that language-stealing business. It's not tort reform. It's citizenship reform. It's citizenship reduction. Every time you hear tort reform, because I'm not going to sit here and just tell you stuff. You know, this isn't Wiener, this isn't Rush, this isn't what's his name, the guy with the falafel and the buzzer, O'Reilly. I'm not just going to tell you stuff. I'm going to tell you how it is. And what we're dealing with here, you got to understand, you know, the bill's out there, it's banging, or, you know, they're banging the idea around of making sure that you can never, you mean, nasty old citizen you can never go out there and torment one of those poor little bedraggled, waifish, half-starved insurance companies ever again, you monsters. So what does the Blood and Death Party say in response to this tort? You'd think they'd be happy. But they're not. They say that taking away West Virginians' rights, these Republicans, say that taking away West Virginians' rights to petition the government for redress of grievances, that's the constitutional language, those are just baby steps. And I guess, you know, if you're a full-blown fascist, those are baby steps. But what does the pro-business party want? They want to take away your right not just to sue insurance companies, but to sue everybody else. But they want to be really strong and make sure that corporations have a right to sue you. What do they want? They want an end to these so-called medical monitoring cases in West Virginia where you're subjected to poison from some corporation and, you know, you just say, listen, I'm going to have to go to the doctor from time to time to make sure that I'm not dying from this, and I think the guys that poisoned me ought to pay for it. The Republican Party thinks that's a bad thing. That's you beating up on those poor, bedraggled, half-starved corporations. What do you think of that? I mean, do you want to give away your rights? And Slick Vic Sprouse, that paragon of moral virtue, says that ending your right to sue an insurance company isn't tort reform. Is this guy evil or just a moron? Or both? I don't know. You know, he hates workers. No. I'm the hater. You know, this guy wants to make people work for less money, this Sprouse character. And I'm sure he's got a lot of other Republican weirdos on board with him. And some dinos, you know, Democrats in name only. I can think of Mike Oliverio. Senator Oliverio, I don't think he thinks very kindly of workers. I could be wrong. But, you know, what amazes me is that there's a segment of the population that when the Republicans say, you know, listen, what we're really all about is taking care of the corporations, but, you know, we're about family values. Okay, this will work a lot better if you'll just tell me, Taylor. Okay. Yeah, WWNR's own Keith Thompson's on the line with us. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hey, man. Well, heading out of here on the turnpike, barely moving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 77 northbound to 64 westbound. Rough road to go right now.
And when the turnpike's that way,
yeah,
everything else is really bad.
We are somewhere between the Mabstott exit and the 64-77 split.
And have you even seen a salt truck?
He's out there somewhere, but this thing is
well, it's coming down so fast they can't deal with it.
Yeah, it's in bad shape. So if anybody's out driving or anything, avoid 7764 right now, especially northbound. If you can get off of the exit there at the split, Mm-hmm. Going to Port Lewisburg to go on into Beckley.
Okay, and
it's moving slow.
Yeah, are people managed? Are people coping? Or
It's moving, but you know we're moving about 2 miles in an hour. You know, something like that. I mean, it's, you know, there's so many trailers, so many trucks out here right now.
Yeah,
and people trying to get in and out, but.
I've joked a little bit, but I wonder if it's actually a joke. I'm considering sleeping on Rick Reiser's couch tonight.
You're going to go back over to Fort Peck County, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure, but right now, the snow has actually slacked off. But there's so much of it out here, and it's so heavy and so wet.
Yeah.
And what's under it is frozen. The things are just moving so slowly. Here now, I don't know what it's like out on 19 or anything like that, but
generally
right here we're in just a kind of a slow motion move.
Yeah, generally if the turnpike's a mess, everything else is worse.
Yeah,
and I just looked out here onto Kanawha Street, and you know you can't see the street.
Yeah, southbound here on 77, we were coming back from a broadcasting ball game over on Groovy. There was a vehicle about 100 feet over in the woods.
Wow.
So the turnpike is faster, and traffic, southbound traffic, is moving, but it's moving very, very slowly.
Okay.
Not as slow as we are here northbound, but either way out there tonight on the turnpike, and I would say in the city and on 19 and anywhere else, it's not going to be a fun ride home.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the update, Keith.
And, all right, buddy.
Go home safely. All right.
We're about 2 miles today. It may take another hour to get there, but we'll try to get there.
Well, cross your fingers, your toes, and keep your tongue just right. You know, you'll get there.
All right.
Thanks, Keith.
All right, Bob. Take care.
Later. And I'll tell you what. We need to pick that. See what happens to me? Thanks to Keith Thompson there. We appreciate it. And that was just the news I really didn't want to take. But, if you can avoid them, stay off the roads right now. It's because it's not going to get better for a while. Do we have a break? No, okay, don't worry. Okay, let's just go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
I
don't know what to do, man. Isn't there an emergency cot or something and an old wool blanket?
Yeah, well, that's I got my big leather Eskimo parka, and I got a couch in the program director's office.
Well, problem solved.
Right.
I mean, don't go out there.
I really am inclined. I used to take risks all the time. Now that I got kids, I don't take so many risks anymore.
Well, that's exactly right, and you shouldn't. There, people are counting on you. So, Mike Oliverio.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was doing something. I heard his name. Labor friendly. What were you saying?
Well, I said I wasn't sure, but he strikes me as is he? Am I wrong? But I heard he wasn't a big prevailing wage fan.
No, I think he's receiving quite an education on it.
Well, good.
Here,
getting
from various people, and I hope he's listening.
Yeah, getting that foot of the cross speech.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's, that's what I've, been talking to you about, and we're battling all over the state, and, in my opinion, the center of this prevailing wage fight is right here in Beckley, West Virginia.
Well,
all the people that oppose it are here. Have filed protests against the new, prevailing rate, the 2005 rate.
Yeah.
So
attacking rate. Working people.
Pardon me?
Just attacking working people, that's all.
Well, yeah, that's the way I see it. Yeah, I don't understand it. I went to the commission meeting this morning, and I didn't get on the agenda. I didn't, talk to anybody in time to get on the agenda. But I will be on the agenda the 22nd. And I just took a little bit of the public time and presented the commissioners with copies of West Virginia State Prevailing Wage Law and told them that, it was our opinion that this project falls under that. And that I know they have a piece of paper that the federal government says that West Virginia State Prevailing Wage Law does not apply, but that's not their call.
No.
this is a states' rights issue. This is what West Virginia state's prevailing wage law says.
Yeah.
And one of the things that it says is the federal government can't dictate that. So we'll see.
Well, the right wing is awful big on states' rights, Wayne.
Yeah. they're failing on. I mean, you know, they kind of went the same way with fiscal responsibility, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, you
fiscal,
did.
Some, that's hard now.
Yeah, fiscal responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these guys wouldn't know a conservative if they saw a lunatic. They could probably identify. Well, they do it. I mean, that's.
Well, you know, it's like I said, it's all about the language, Wayne. I mean, I've got a list here of from Frank Luntz. You know, I talked about that memo a little bit.
Yeah.
I've got a list here of the 14 words never to use. Never say government. Always say Washington. Never say privatization or private accounts. Say personalization, personal accounts. This isn't satire. This is from a Republican strategist who is scared.
A think tank.
Yeah.
Right.
He is scared to death that the Republicans are going to get their butts kicked in 2006 in the off-year election.
Well, listen, I mean, they're in such lockstep. You know, did you, what's her name? Shelley Moore Capito was on the station down in Charleston, you know, about Social Security. What comes out of her mouth about this ownership society? You know, like, God.
Oh, you know.
It's amazing.
Where's the hole that the puppeteer puts his hand in her to make her mouth move and say, you know, ownership society?
That's not the problem. The problem is why can't people see the big hand and arm that's operating?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's just me, I guess, you know, being all history trained and stuff. I hear ownership society, I'm thinking pre-1860 Alabama. You know, I'm thinking.
Yeah, they owned a lot of things.
Yeah, that was a real. That was a top-notch ownership society. You even got to own the people.
Yeah, I mean that was.
Yeah, you know, we've.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah, we've had one of those. It wasn't so nice.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't good. And I on the news tonight there was. Oh, everybody's favorite Dan Rather. You know, I know there are a lot of conservatives that will love this story. But he was doing an interview with Charles Edgar. Is it Charles? Melvin Edgar's brother?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Am I right?
I think.
Well, it was like in 1964 that he was killed.
Yeah, Medgar Evers.
Medgar Evers. I knew something was wrong. And Dan Rather interviewed his brother, I think it's Charles.
Charles Evers.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then tonight they were both on the program again. And, you know, he was talking about how in 1964 a black person merely bumping into a white woman. Was that was a serious crime.
That was a killing offense.
You could be beat or killed.
You wind up at the bottom of the Pearl River or some such.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and he reminded people that was only 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, now think of that, 64.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 41 years ago.
Yeah.
And people think that, you know, some progress.
Well, people can't understand why there are still people that are kind of upset about that.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
I know, and, you know, you'll get the, well, I'm not responsible for slavery. I never had no slaves. I never oppressed nobody. Can't we move on? Well, that's like saying, well, do we really have to have history? Is it so important to have a history? Can't we just forget history and make it up as we go along? And we've always been nice and good and upstanding and ice cream eating and all of that.
Well, that's where I think that's what's got us to the mess we're in now.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, right down the memory hole. Goodbye.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. But I don't know. There's the labor issues. There's, you know, well, I told you the prevailing wage is under attack statewide. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think they're all excited now because they got Benji at the Supreme Court.
Oh,
the Supreme Court's going to be a very busy place here.
Oh, I have a feeling. And then,
yeah.
And there's a lot of paybacks to be made.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
There is some political capital going to get spent.
Yes.
You know, this third-party bad faith thing is near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
I hope somebody can toe the line in the legislature, but I'm very, very nervous.
It's near and dear to my heart, too. I think that, to be honest with you, I never really thought too that much about it. You know, I mean, it was something I heard, third faith, something I'm not involved with, until you explained to me the other night, and I mean, my God, you know. Their ultimate goal is that corporations are absolutely responsible for nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely
and
nothing.
And you can't sue them.
But they can sue your shirt off your back.
Yes.
You just can't sue them.
And they can make laws so that you can't go bankrupt when you...
Yeah, so that you have to keep on paying the 25% interest from the usury card company that jacked your rates up when they found out you were a day and a half late on your power bill.
Right.
Because they
don't have a damn thing. That's none of their business.
Right. Yeah, and, the insurance companies can use your credit rating. And, again, you were a day and a half late on your power bill, so guess what? You just got $500 added to your car insurance premium, and you've never had a wreck in your life.
Right.
And
then what's the big news every day is more mergers. I mean, we must be down to just five or six companies in the whole world, wouldn't you think?
Hey,
every day.
In another 10 years, it'll all just be Acme, you know,
right.
And it'll be straight out of the Warner Brothers cartoons and their stuff.
Will they bring the bird back, man?
Yeah, right. I mean, the Acme rocket powered roller skates,
exactly.
and we're all gonna have a pair.
They'll print their own money and everything.
Instant hole. Where we're going, Wayne. It's where we're going. And I just want to find me a couple of politicians that'll stand up for consumers and scream, just scream really loud as the ship goes down.
Well, yeah, I'm doing that, too. You know, it's something I told the commissioners, it was this morning, their meeting, which I think is wrong, too, and I would change that law. County commission meetings would be at 7 p.m. in an auditorium or a facility, that could accommodate all who might want to come.
What are you, crazy? You want people to show up for this stuff?
Yeah, I do. It's really important that people get involved, because if we don't, these idiots are going to ruin it for us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, as I remember the old poster or something back in the 70s, some smiling guy saying, what a beautiful day, now watch some SOB come along and screw it up.
Yeah. I might have been that guy at the county commission today.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they pay me to do that, and I really believe in it.
You running around screwing with their bliss.
Yeah. Yes. And I told the commissioners today, I said, listen, we think this is a prevailing wage job. You guys want to argue that it isn't and all that. We can have this thing, and you guys can get all your lawyers, and we'll get all our lawyers. Everybody, that's a waste of your time, which is a waste of my taxpayers' dollars, because my taxpayers' dollars are paying you, Mr. and Mrs. or Ms. Commissioner. And so why don't we just say this is a prevailing wage job and move on? Some people are trying to change the law. If they're successful, you won't have to deal with me anymore.
Right.
But
the fact, how hard is it, Wayne? Just stand up and be pro worker. Stand up and be pro-middle class.
Well, exactly. And, and my point is, I'm sure I made it before, but I'm going to make it again. When you're against prevailing wage and the laws that were, the national law was 1931, I think, and there were state laws in the late 1800s, there were state prevailing wage laws.
Mm-hmm.
So now you people want to tell me that construction workers, people that build things, they don't deserve to make a living wage.
Right.
They don't deserve to have health insurance. That they don't deserve to have a pension.
It's insulting.
Yes.
It's just plain old garden variety insulting. It's like a slap in the face.
Yes.
You know, hey, you, you that gets up in the freezing cold and goes out and, you know, drives nails and pours concrete and finishes drywall. You know, screw you, buddy. You're not as good as us.
Right, and who's telling us that? The people that sold $7 million worth of stocks a month before they knew it was going to be worthless?
Yeah. The better class, our betters.
They're telling me and, you know, construction workers like myself that we're not worth all
that. Yeah, you're garbage.
Yes. That's class warfare.
That is class warfare, and their class is winning.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's but, time you know, the my thing, class to start fighting back.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just like that email I'd started at the top of the hour with, you know, 20 years... My side of the debate's been getting called every name in the book.
I know.
I punch back, and I'm a hate monger. Ooh, see my horns growing?
I know. And
I'll be damned, I got cloven hooves. What? There's a tail! Yeah.
And these people, well, the way they think, you know, there was, I heard earlier today something about how do you rationally deal with someone that's willing to fill up their car with explosives and drive it into a place and kill 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, how do you deal rationally with a country that's willing to invade another country for absolutely no, well, for reasons, but not for the ones that they said?
Yeah, for some reason, they just haven't told us the real one yet.
No, they keep going around, 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 and switching it.
They tried to kill my daddy. That's the reason right there. I mean, if you know.
Exactly.
That's it. Oh, yeah, how do you deal with that? You know, how do you deal with people who ran, not walked, not crawled, ran to the polls to vote for a guy who slaughtered 100,000 women and children?
I don't know, but, you know, you'd have to have...
And they think they're the moral ones, Wayne.
I know. Well, that's the really frightening part, isn't it? No, that's the really frightening part.
I mean, jumping Jehoshaphat.
I don't proclaim to be any sane or anything like that. But I mean, my God, yeah, it doesn't make sense. They can't be who they are and support what they support.
No.
Or who they claim to be and support what they support.
Warning, Will Robinson. Warning, alien approaching.
Yes. Right. No. Yeah, I mean,
pod people, you know. some normal person went to bed one night and this conservative pod opened up under the bed and, you know, we need tort reform.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and what's amazing is that some of the people that side with them,
oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the class of, I don't know.
Yeah, middle-class people.
Well, yeah, maybe just barely, or, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it's like...
I mean, I don't know.
A middle-class person supporting a Republican is like a guy walking up with a rope and saying, would you mind hanging me if I bring my own rope?
Exactly. I'll make sure it's clean so you don't get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's days you just... You sober as a judge, and you just read the news, and you feel like you're just... loaded. Yeah, because you literally can't believe the stuff that's coming in, the light that's coming in through your eyeballs.
No, you can't.
This clown Sprouse thinks that we're not mean enough to West Virginia consumers, and he calls himself a values politician?
Hey, listen, take a look at
Damn.
That. Have you ever seen this picture in the paper?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the one where he's got that, do you know who Boston Blackie is? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, little pencil-thin mustache, the
right,
Boston Blackie
Boston
kind.
Like there was a song.
Yeah.
That line was in a song.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett. Oh, I'm a parrot head, Wayne.
Okay, all right. That's what, well, I don't think Vic, he doesn't have the mustache now, does he?
I can't tell.
He used to.
Yeah.
And every time, the first time I saw his picture, I said, a young Snidely Whiplash.
Right.
It's perfect. I'm telling you, he's perfect. And his voice is even getting like that. His voice really fits. Voices are important.
Somebody in Kanawha County is doing some bad drugs putting him in the Senate.
Old Snidely, he didn't pick a good voice. But you'll have that.
Yeah, we got to roll, Wayne.
Okay, buddy. You
Thanks,
have,
man.
Hey, really, man, sleep on the couch before you endanger your life.
Well, I'm giving it serious consideration. I'm going to check
Hey.
I'm going to check in with the boss and see what she says.
Well, you tell the boss Radio Free Beckley needs you.
Okay, I will.
All right,
we'll see you, Wayne.
Okay.
Okay, when we come back, more of your phone calls, stick around. 252-6200 is the phone number, 800-620-9967, outside the area. This is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A winter storm brought up to 7 inches of snow in West Virginia's mountains today, especially in the northern counties, closing schools in at least 33 of the 55 counties, and also delaying the start of classes in other schools. The bad weather also prompted officials at Mountaineer Racetrack and Gaming Resort in Chester to cancel racing today. About 577 Allegheny Power customers were without power this morning, about 460 of those in Webster Springs. No other major power outages were reported by AEP. North Central West Virginia's economy has been growing faster than the rest of the state since 2000, and it's expected to maintain that pace for the next 5 years, according to a report issued by the North Central Regional Economic Outlook Conference in Morgantown. The six-county region also has outpaced the state in population and per capita income. That area includes Doddridge, Harrison, Marion, Monongalia, Preston, and Taylor counties. A Bluefield native convicted of cheating investors out of almost $14 million has been sentenced to more than 10 years federal prison. 60-year-old C. Gregory Earls, who now lives in Washington, D.C., was also ordered during last week's sentencing to pay almost $22 million in restitution. Earls is the former chief executive of U.S. Technologies. He was convicted in April of 2004 of 22 charges, including securities fraud, wire fraud, and mail fraud. Earls persuaded investors to invest $20 million in a private firm that he set up in 1998 to buy stock in U.S. Technologies, which is a Washington-based internet firm that collapsed when the dot-com bubble burst. That's the news. Now here's the forecast, a little revision. Winter weather advisory continues for tonight. Cloudy, windy, with light snow and cold. Low tonight near 19. And then for tomorrow, partly sunny with flurries, typically March day, but cold, high near 28. Tomorrow night will be cloudy and very cold with a low of 15. And then for Thursday, partly sunny and warmer, with a high near 30. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
That catches and slams, and it hangs on the rim, and the Cougars are on a roll. His sixth three-pointer of the game, and this one from 11 feet beyond the arc. And the Cougars are national champions!
This is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I National Champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Van Scott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
Ladies, the clock has been reset and the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find, you've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's AutoMatch helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their fun local events, when Cupid.com helps you seek, true love is what you find.
Cupid.com, advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
WWNR Beckley.
Pennsylvania corn growers had an excellent year in 2004, and the Commonwealth of Virginia has a new dairy princess. Those will be our topics on today's edition of On the Farm Radio. I'm Jeff Hitch.
Yeah.
Ah, the sounds of nature. At Back to Earth, we provide you with the fertilizer that Mother Nature likes. Stop using those chemical fertilizers and get back to basics with Back to Earth products. Back to Earth is an environmentally conscious company that produces the best natural and organic products on the market today. Back to Earth can suit any needs from the home gardener, professional gardener, to golf resorts. Call us today at 540-434-4028 or backtoearthproducts.com. And remember, get back to basics with Back to Earth.
Well, calendar year 2004 turned out to be a good year for corn growers in Pennsylvania. A recent report from the Pennsylvania Agricultural Statistics Service indicates corn for grain production in Pennsylvania totaled 137 million bushels last year. That's 34% above the previous year's crop. Virginia has a newly crowned dairy princess and spokeswoman in Rosemary Liskey, a 16-year-old resident of Rockingham County in the Shenandoah Valley. Rosemary Liskey earned the honor at a pageant held in conjunction with the recent Virginia State Dairymen's Association annual meeting in Stanton. Liskey is the daughter of Tim and Karen Liskey and has lived her entire life on her family's 140-cow dairy farm. She is an active member of the FFA, the Rockingham County Dairy Club, and the Virginia Junior Holstein Association. In addition to Rosemary Liskey, the Virginia Dairy Princess Program crowned Katie Leonard of Midland and Amanda McIntosh of Berryville to serve as the state's Dairy Duchesses. Together, the three girls will be representing the Virginia dairy industry at various festivals, fairs, and agricultural shows and events throughout the state in 2005. We'd like to congratulate these young ladies on their accomplishments.
They were mothers, fathers, soldiers, statesmen. They were writers, rebels, leaders, crusaders. They were American heroes. They were American slaves. This is their story. Slavery and the Making of America.
Beginning Wednesday night at 9 on WVPT, Virginia's public television.
And our pearl of wisdom today comes in from listener Lionel Adkins, who says that a wise man gets more use from his enemies than a fool does from his friends. Thanks to Lionel Adkins of Albemarle County, Virginia, for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. Oh, about 20 minutes till 10. Watching the snow fly. Brian's with us. Hey, Brian, you're head on. Thanks for waiting.
How's it going, Bob?
Like I said, I'm contemplating whether to go home or not.
Well, I can't say for the roads, but I just headed out in the driveway working on a phone here at the house. I had to get some tools out of the truck, and it has turned very nasty from what it was when the sun just went down.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was driving in here at 5 o'clock, and there was only one lane of each side of Eisenhower that was, you know, passable.
Right.
So I you know, the sun went down, all that wet that was underneath this froze. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, welcome to West Virginia.
Oh, I love it. You know, you get one or two of these a year.
Yeah, we do. And actually, we've been very blessed and lucky this year, considering that most of us went above and below us.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and before I left, I was having a conversation with my lovely wife, and I said, you know, dear, I'm going to go down to the bank and borrow $500 so I can put a half a tank of gas in the truck. And, you know,
get a motel room somewhere if I can't get home.
Yeah, and I'm you know, no, you take the car. Huh? And, you know, you don't fight with the lovely wife. So I took the car, and I'm wishing I had the truck.
I understand completely. What job was Wayne talking about that they were thinking should go prevailing wage? I didn't get to catch all of it.
Well, it's the it's that big education center out by the highway that's going to house divisions of, like, 8 colleges or something.
Right.
You've heard him talk about it on the news, right?
Yeah.
The powers that be are saying that it will not be a prevailing wage job, even though public funds are being used to build it.
That was what I understood. If public funds were used, that it had to be prevailing wage, but I don't know.
Well, you know, in this day and age, a lot of things get turned on their ear, Brian.
Yeah, that they do. But I didn't know which job it was. Like I said, I didn't get to hear everything.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it was nice that you at least got a, you know, live road report.
Yeah, even if it was bad news. Yeah.
I did get to hear that. But, well, one thing, one way to look at it, though, this is the start of March. So, you know, in about 28 days,
yeah,
well, we're going to have beautiful weather.
That's what I say. You know, blow on, man, because you're done.
Yeah, in like a lion, out like a lamb.
Exactly. And, you know, with any luck, the roof at Kroger's won't collapse this time.
Right. Well, hopefully we won't get that much snow. You never know, though.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, too, I'd heard you mention something the other night. You kind of touched on the Social Security thing, and, you know, we don't need to fix it. It's not broke. The last numbers that I heard was by, I think it was 2040, that the fund would be breaking even.
Well, depending on whose numbers you buy into, the Social Security Administration says 2042, the Congressional Budget Office says 2052, and if we do absolutely nothing to Social Security between now and then, at that date, it will begin only paying out 80% of the benefits that would be contemplated at 100. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Benefits would be cut by 20% on that day. There is no need to cut benefits a nickel between now and then. However, it does need to be worked on.
Right.
But you don't work. You know, you don't save the patient on the operating table by slitting their throat.
Well, what Bush has proposed, you know, is not to gut the Social Security program as we know it. As far as it affecting you, it wouldn't. You know, you paid into it all your life. The money will still be there for you.
Well, technically, it will affect me, because what he's saying is that if you're 55 or older, your benefits will not be touched. Now, I'm a fur cry yet from 55, so yeah, I am part of the cat food generation. And what it, you know, you can tell, you know, for instance, I've got this list here, Brian, from this Republican Frank Luntz, who tells people how to frame their issues, you know, and my side of the debate is so far behind on behind the curve on this, we think we're on straight road. But, you know, one of the things they say, never say privatization or private accounts, always say personalization and personal accounts. You know, they are trying desperately to control the debate by controlling how we think about the debate. And what you're you know, for instance, they say, well, it's only going to be 2 to 4% that you put into your private accounts. Well, that's 2 to 4% of your payroll, of your FICA, you know, your paycheck, FICA. But what you're putting in is 6%. So what they're really talking about is allowing up to 60% of your contribution to go into go on the roulette wheel on Wall Street.
Well, the numbers that I've heard have said, you know, 2%, which you pay 6.5%, your employer pays 6.5%, equal, like, or a little over 6.5%, it's like 13.25% total split, mm-hmm, between the two of you. But, you know, if you elect to, you have the option to be either in the privatized account, depending on your age, you know, where you're falling into the age bracket thing. You know, I'm 36. I don't know where you come in to focus on the grid, but, you know, like Dr. Bill, he was concerned, you know, it wouldn't affect him at all. As far as, you know, my age, it probably wouldn't help me a whole lot. You know, granted, to be putting it into a private, you know, IRA type thing, I would rather be in control of it personally, but that's me. You know, I still think we do need to take care of the people who can't.
Right, and that's the thing.
I also think that it needs to be set up where if you make so much money upon your retirement, be it, you know, $20,000 a month, $40,000 a month, you know, I don't know where the cap would be drawn. You know, around here, 10 grand a month would be excellent money. I'm sure in New York, you'd probably be closer to 50 a month,
yeah,
depending on where you live. But, you know, if you make that, you know, retirement, you don't get the check. The money stays in there.
No, I don't have a problem with that. More than anything, I want every American who gets paid, I want every American participating in the pay-in as well as the pay-out. You know, right now, anything above 90 grand, we don't touch it. We don't tax it. And I don't know why. I don't know why the better class gets to get away with getting all the benefits of being an American and not paying for them.
Well, I have a problem when, I mean, this is me personally, if I made $1 million a year, personally, I would try not to hedge it, you know, like we've had, you have a lot of the people that, you know, will get 15, 20 million a year that only pay 15% mean tax because the majority of their income comes in through dividends, which are untaxable.
Right.
Good Lord, if I made that kind of money, I would gladly pay what I needed to pay.
Well, sure, and that's, you know, yeah, you're a decent guy, Brian. I love Dr. Bill's idea of a property tax on ownership of stock. I think that's brilliant. You know, you and me, we got to go to the courthouse every year and pay. Say you got some rattletrap 1972 Impala or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the only thing that's keeping it on the road is the rust molecules all holding hands. To this day, that still has a taxable value. It's still a taxable event in West Virginia's tax structure. And yet, you can have 9 million shares of Amalgamated Widget, and you never pay a penny on it.
Well, is the stock market as an entity? Does it make money like the New York Stock Exchange?
Oh heavens, yes.
It does as its own, as the place where all the trading goes on.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the whoever owns the bazaar rents out the stalls to the rug merchants and the people selling the pineapples, and yeah, it's like that. It's literally a market.
I didn't know if it made money or not.
Sure, it does. The Dow Jones Industrial Average that we hear about every day, the benchmark of what happens on Wall Street. Well, Dow Jones owns the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
Okay. I mean, yeah, they're not in it for charity.
Right. Well, you know, most people aren't that are into anything.
But if you and me have to go and pay property taxes on our vehicles in order to put them on the road, what's wrong with making people who own shares of stock pay a modest tax on the ownership of that private property? You pay private property on. I mean, for God's sakes, you pay tax on ownership of a dog, and yet, you know, and yeah, and yet the better class doesn't even have to think about paying a tax on owning this kind of personal property.
Well,
that's crazy.
With that, it would still affect, you know, the it could still affect the middle class. I mean, my father-in-law has quite a few shares of AT&T
mm-hmm.
because he worked for Ma Bell.
Right.
Who was bought out by AT&T. And granted, he's, you know, on paper it's shown that he's lost money, but I actually told him one day, I said, Troy, you didn't really lose anything. You didn't pay for it to begin with.
Well,
you're not nice.
But you know,
laughed at me.
But he did work for, I mean, he did pay for it. He paid for it with the sweat of his brow, right?
Right, but as far as, I mean, the company gave it to him.
Yeah.
But it was like a bonus, you know. But it's, I mean, I'm glad that he has it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they could impose the tax on the stock, and it actually end up hurting him. I mean, he doesn't have a lot, but, you know, he still has several shares.
Yeah, but I'm not talking, you know, if you've got 15, 100 shares, and, you know, you're getting taxed at a penny a share, you know, you're into a dollar. So,
well, I'm wondering if it was taxed by the trading and not by the actual ownership.
I would rather see the ownership taxed because the trading doesn't take place in West Virginia, so you couldn't argue that West Virginia has a logical nexus for taxing it. You know, the actual trade, the transaction takes place, at least theoretically, in whichever market in which the stock is being traded.
Right.
You know, whether it's NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange or the Chicago Board of Trade. That's where the event transpires, so we'd be hard pressed to tax that. But we could certainly, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, a penny, a nickel, a dime, you know, no
but
big
federally,
deal.
Federally, we could tax the transactions.
Oh, absolutely, and that will never happen. I mean, one of the keystones, Brian, the Republican wish list in the last 20 years was to eliminate the capital gains tax. And that's the only point at which stock really does have has a taxable event, is when you buy the stock appreciates in value. When you sell the stock, if you've made money, that becomes a capital gain. You know this, and
right.
that was the taxable event.
Well, Well, one tax I have a problem with is still on the books is the inheritance tax.
I have no problem with that whatsoever because here in West Virginia, we don't tax estates under, what, $600,000 or $1 million maybe?
I don't know the number, honestly.
It's non-existent. That's another one of those things off the list here. Never say inheritance tax. Always say the death tax.
Yeah, but inheritance tax or death tax, whatever you call it, I have a problem with that. If you've worked all your life and you've scrimped and you've saved and you have managed to amass, you know, $1.5 million estate that you want to leave to your daughter and son, you know, lo and behold, bam, they pay a humongous inheritance tax before they can ever think about getting the money. And you've already paid tax on most of that.
Well,
your income taxes.
You may have or you may not have, depending on who you are. If you're an ordinary working stiff, you probably have at some point. But on the other hand, if you're one of these trust fund babies, you've never paid a penny of tax on it ever, because it's just been sitting there making money.
True, and someday I hope to be a trust fund baby. But
I want every one of my youngins to be trust fund babies.
Right.
I want them to get into Harvard or Yale on that affirmative action plan that's based on your bank account. I'd love for that to happen, but I'm just kind of egalitarian on this. I think we're all Americans. We're all in it together. And to that extent, we all have a duty to support our country.
And I think we should. You know, I do have problems, like I said, with the people that pay a 15% tax rate that make $25-30 million a year.
Yeah, we pay. Well, Warren Buffett once put it best. He said, "My secretary pays more income tax than I do."
And that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. And you know, our taxes do stuff for us, Brian. I mean, I'm looking at the road out there tonight. Listen, those guys that are out, I would not drive one of those salt trucks or snow plows for any amount of money because it's a harrowing job. You know, that stuff blows up off the blade, you can't see out the windshield, and you're taking it on faith. But you know what? So I admire those guys who do it. I'd like there to be about 50 more of them in this county alone.
Right.
And, you know, I'd like for us to have a tax base that would support that. I don't know if you saw the newspaper today. Calhoun County, little bitty poor little Calhoun County, couldn't meet payroll this month. No.
That's sad.
They canceled the health insurance for all the elected officials in the county, and they still couldn't make payroll.
That's
pitiful. And that's not because people are suing insurance companies, and it's not because people are getting their tongues split. It's because we've got a screwed-up tax system in this state that... the tax system in this state, Brian, is basically the same tax system that they had in England at the time of the signing of the Magna Carta. And I would bet that, you know, life's gotten a little more complex. Life's changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody owned stock back then.
Right.
Yes, they did, and they called them oxen and hogs, and, you know, that the real stock.
Right.
But, you know, there's something wrong.
Something wrong when a county can't afford payroll.
You know, I don't know if they're facing bankruptcy, but I know, according to the article, part of it is because their obligation to the regional jail for housing of inmates has shot through the roof.
Because they have more inmates there, I guess, than other places.
And I guess more people got busted in Calhoun County lately. But, you know, those little counties, I remember when the regional jails first started coming online, Brian, there were little counties out there that were literally spending half of their annual budget on housing inmates.
Right.
And that'll break you, and it's breaking Calhoun County. And, you know, when you consider what, you know, who are those people that are in there? You know, it's like we were talking about earlier, you know, some guy that got busted for a bag of pot. It's some guy that, you know, didn't hurt anybody, but, you know, he was DUI. You know, we like our punishment. We just don't like it when it costs money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just disturbing all the way around. Well, Brian, I got a roll here. I'm going to go out and start the car and, you know, contemplate whether or not I'm going to drive.
Well, if you do get out, be careful.
I sure will. Thanks for calling, Brian.
All right, buddy.
Take care. All right, we'll do this again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. God willing, the crypt don't rise. This has been a lot of fun tonight, and I appreciate everyone who participated. And there's still plenty of stuff to go into tomorrow. I never get through the stack, but it sure is fun trying. The show, of course, tonight was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. When you look up and you see that sprinkler system that, you know, will save your life in case of a fire, think of a union pipe fitter. He did that. You hope. That's how it gets done, right? Okay, and also remember, you can go and listen to the archives of the program at whiterosesociety.org. We sure do appreciate Ben Birch and all of his help. Now the fun starts. Hey, Agnes.